You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off into hour number three of the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you will find anywhere this early in the morning. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The great one Lonzo is here as well. If you want to be a part of the show, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is that number. 8 o'clock on the dot, time for the Audio Blitz, the best sound that we have picked up over the past handful of days. Let's dive right in. I held on to this one from last week. I wanted to play, didn't get a chance to. Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of the Los Angeles Superchargers. Jim Harbaugh is known for being a bit, I believe the old say, of a weird bird. Jim Harbaugh, there was some audio that resurfaced of an interview that he did before he left the University of Michigan to head out to L.A. to take over as the Chargers head coach. Now, you go, Rob, why in the world would you play old audio from Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh instead of Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh? It's because he's weird. It didn't.
Are you going to be critical about his SpongeBob take?
No, I love his SpongeBob take.
That's a really good take.
I'm not even kidding. I genuinely love his SpongeBob take.
He's not wrong. I just want to point something else out, too, though. Squidward's always at work, too.
Squidward's always at work.
He's not happy, but he's always at work.
He shows up. He does his job. He does it well. All right. There's no, unless you're me and Lonzo, obligation to show up and put on a smiley face when you're having a bad day. Show up, do your job. The point is, I like the take because he ain't wrong. SpongeBob, good day, bad day. SpongeBob never has a bad day. Good day, bad day. The man shows up and grows extra arms to be the best burger flipper in the game. Never once asked Mr. Krabs for a raise or a promotion. Do that. All right. Ask for raises, ask for promotions.
You're not going to get it from Krabs, though.
You're not going to get it from Mr. Krabs. But, and in fairness, there was only really one other place that SpongeBob could have gone and worked with his talents.
Yeah, the Chum Bucket's always hiring, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, certainly would hire if he could get somebody up out of the Krusty Krab. But the point here is, Harbaugh's got a good take here. SpongeBob, absolutely.
I believe there was an episode where SpongeBob did work at the Chum
Bucket. I believe you are correct. Yeah. And once he figured out that Plankton was just in it for the Krabby Patty recipe, he got up out of there and he realized, oh, I'm not here because of my value and my worth. I'm here because you needed something from me. I'm going to go back to at least Mr. Krabs understands. Doesn't pay me, but at least he understands. And I respect that. All right, let's get some more clips in here, shall we? Matt Rhule is the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
One of us.
You, Matt Rhule said that he does not think that the Huskers are going to have a traditional spring game this year. The Nebraska fans were like, why not, Matt? And Matt answered. And now my thing's broke. Okay. Hang on. I got
I'll say that one ain't on me.
No, it's not.
The first one was on me. This one ain't on me.
Let's see. Matt, okay. Encountered a problem while playing the file. Awesome. So basically, because apparently it's a file error and not because Rob's an idiot.
We'll see if something else plays.
I'm actually going to see. Okay, I see why. It's a busted file. Here's Matt Rule, maybe. Nope. No Matt Rule. Broke it.
I didn't really want to hear Matt
Rule. Gosh darn it, Matt Rule.
Tell us what Matt Rule said.
Matt Rule said that there's not going to be a traditional spring game because it's televised. And Matt Rule said that when these games get televised, young players who maybe weren't on the map, who then stand out and have a terrific spring game, suddenly get on the map. And Matt Rule is concerned that when he utilizes a spring game to showcase players, that those players start getting phone calls from other schools and, his words, not mine, tampering comes into play. So Matt Rule is not going to have a spring game so that players don't get highlighted on television wearing the Nebraska Block N for the first time and get targeted by other schools who then get on the horn and say, hey, if you leave Lincoln, Nebraska and come play for us, we'll hook you up with the NIL deal. I will once again go off in saying that. You have nobody to blame but the NCAA and the schools for not getting together when this whole thing started and saying, all right, here's our contact period, here's our contact policy. But you didn't do that. That being said, Matt, this isn't a Nebraska problem. This is a college football thing that is happening now. Do I feel bad for Matt Rule? I mean, I guess a little bit if this is a problem. But there's another element to this, which is, as I have pointed out 100 times, coaches don't like the NIL system, which, again, makes sense. It makes your job harder. I get it. It makes your job harder. So, of course, you're against it. But it's also a very good reason why when coaches come out, and I've said this about Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer, too. A couple of guys that I got a lot of respect for. When coaches come out and say this stuff, I don't believe them. If you're not willing to put names, dates, contacts on the record, if all you say is, well, you know, so-and-so got a phone call, you know, we've got it on the record that school X has been reaching out to our guys. Well, either say it on the record or I don't believe you. It's going to be something that I'm going to parrot for a very long time. If you don't put it on the record, then I'm not going to believe you. It is the exact same thing that happens in every element of business, every career field. Somebody comes out and says, well, you know, there's people out there that are doing this bad thing. Okay, who are they? Who are they? And exactly what are they doing and when are they doing it? And if you're unable or unwilling to give me the data that I need in order to work on fixing the problem, then I don't believe you, I can't do anything about it, right? I can't do anything about it. If this was a legitimate issue for Nebraska and they had, after last year's spring game, schools calling their players and going, yo, if you leave Lincoln, Nebraska, and you come out here, tell you what, we'll hook you up with an NIL deal. Especially from a guy that has an NIL transfer portal quarterback as his QB1 in Dylan Raiola. That's a Georgia guy. He's in Lincoln, Nebraska. You think he moved up there for free? You think he transferred to Lincoln, Nebraska because of a deep history connected to the Cornhuskers? That man was being looked at as the next big thing in college football at the quarterback position. He was the next big thing, and he's in Lincoln, Nebraska. With all due respect to the Huskers, y'all have been relevant as recently as the Dallas Cowboys. That is to say, a very long time ago. Actually, a little bit more than that, but not the point. Point is, Matt, you have one of those guys as your QB1. Hell, as the crown jewel of your program right now, if you're not willing to put names and numbers out there of people that are breaking the law, I'm dismissing it. Sorry. That just kind of is what it is. All right. I got a little bit of sound from the Luka Doncic trade that went down. Shams explained how this whole trade was laid out. Yeah, I swear if this doesn't play, yeah, I'm going to have to, I got to reboot everything. I lost all my sound, Lonzo. I lost all my sound. I don't know what's happening here. This is really frustrating. So
in the future, if you can send me those files too, then we got a backup.
Yep. Sound card is being accessed by another program and cannot be used by multiple applications at the same time. So what else is using my sound card? I don't know.
Would you like me to yell for engineering and see if they're available?
Nah, I'm going to turn it off and on again when we go to break. This is a bummer. What a great segment for my sound card to break. You know, the sound base segment. The only one that I had to have it for today.
You can go to break early if you like, so you can fix it.
Tell you what, let's do that. Let's run to a break because I do have not just Shams, but I have a bunch of other sound from this Luka Doncic trade that I want to play for you. So we're going to run to a break. When we come back, we'll jump back into that for just a couple of minutes. I know there's a bunch of you that are like, what are we doing, Rob? It's Super Bowl week. I understand that. This trade, I think, is going to go down in NBA history. And if Luka Doncic goes out west, becomes the face of the Lakers for like 10 years, it's going to be one of the most ridiculous trades of all time. If Luka goes out to LA and he's never the same guy, maybe the Mavs come off as looking like stinking geniuses. We'll talk about that when we come back. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Okie doke. I think, therefore I am, I think we're good now. Let's find out. 12-12, Saturday night into Sunday morning. Shams drops the bombs that Luka Doncic is headed from the Mavs to the Lakers show. How did this come about, Shams? He said, and then now it doesn't play again, Lonzo. I don't. I hate everything and everyone.
It's up. It's on.
Oh, I know. It's not on you.
And we know that my audio is playing. So
yep, I mean, it's not. Know. It's not on you. This is just outstanding timing. Cool. Had to huddle internally because they called and offered us who? They did what now? Now.
So the new ownership is already being blamed, saying that they have no idea what they're doing. But haven't they been the owners for like a couple years?
A couple of years now. Yeah, Cuban sold the controlling interest over to a different group. And here's the thing. You know, anytime something like this happens, the internet loves to go bring up old stuff. Somebody found a video of Mark Cuban. Luka Doncic got engaged like a year and a half ago, like in season. And somebody found a video where a media member caught Mark Cuban in a Mavs pregame on the sideline. They're like, hey, Luka got engaged. What are you giving him for an engagement gift? And Cuban was like, I don't know. I got to talk to my wife about it. She's in charge of that. And they go, come on, you're in charge of this. What are you giving him? And he said, and I quote, a championship, end quote, right? Like Mark Cuban would not have been on this move. The new ownership was. Now, it's funny you bring up ownership. Because when Sham said that the Mavs approached the Lakers a few days ago with this trade in mind. And by the way, I don't know if it was because of what got said or if it was a coincidence, but when Sham said in that clip, Anthony Davis was the only guy they would have made these moves for, Lonzo kind of threw his hands up like, what? Which is the correct response. What? You're giving up a 28-plus per game superstar for a 31-year-old dude who doesn't play 28 games? You're trading 28 points per game for 28 games. What are we doing here? BJ Armstrong, former NBA player, said on his podcast he thinks there may be something nefarious afoot. Okay. I mean, honestly, that theory kind of holds water a little bit, right? The theory kind of holds water. There is, if you've worked in this industry, if you've worked in broadcasting at all, you understand the timing of a news dump. That is strategically positioning the release of information in order to put it into the public eye at a point where the public eye is focused elsewhere, right? You drop news really late on Friday nights, where most people are asleep and the rest are, you know, in their social mindset. They may not be paying attention. This news dropped on a Saturday night at 12:12 in the morning. That's the most out of public sight news dump I've ever seen. Now, my favorite thing happening right now, if you go on social media, is videos out of the Dallas metropolis that are of random places that are just like breaking out in chaos because this news was such a big deal, right? There was a video of a couple in the middle of their, well, I guess probably it's 12:22 in the morning. Well, I guess 11 o'clock there, in the middle of their wedding reception, that the groom like pulls all his boys off to the side. And in the middle of my man's wedding reception, they're all standing there lamenting this trade. One of the groomsmen walks over to the groom, and he's like, "This isn't real, right?" And the groom's like, "It can't be. This can't be real. This can't be really happening tonight, right?" There was another one that I saw late last night of a nightclub in Dallas where the DJ stopped the music and announced the trade to the nightclub. You understand what news has got to break down? For a nightclub to stop the party at the place that is only there for the party to tell the people in attendance, hey, everybody's favorite player got traded. That's huge. That's enormous.
Did they continue dancing afterwards?
Yeah, like they started up the music back. But you can see that, like, the vibe's dead. The vibe's dead. And, you know, big cities, like, if you haven't spent time in
there.
It's
a bad move by the DJ, then.
I mean, again, like, I don't, I get it, right? Luka is Dallas right now, especially with everything that's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Luka Doncic and the Mavs kind of are Dallas sports right now. I guess I should say were Dallas sports. I get it. And big cities, like there's a different vibe about NBA teams in the big cities than there is, you know, kind of out in the smaller regional areas. NBA teams in the cities are big. Go to downtown, even Charlotte. The buzz are bad right now. Go to Charlotte. You see Hornets stuff like hanging from light posts and stuff. The city celebrate this. It's a big deal in the city. Dallas like shut down at 12:22 in the morning over this news. Nico Harrison, GM, did a follow-up presser with Jason Kidd. I'm going to play it for you and then describe what you saw. So, couple things about that. Number one, you know, the easiest thing would be for me to do nothing, and everyone would praise me for doing nothing. You do understand that sometimes doing nothing is the right deal. This is not to say, Nico, you had two options, trade Luka or do nothing. It's a trade deadline. You can make any move you want. You could have made any move that you wanted to move pieces around Luka Doncic to give Luka Doncic, a 25-year-old generational star, an opportunity to succeed. Nico has one thing to work with here, and that one thing is Luka goes to L.A., and the injuries or the conditioning or whatever prevent him from becoming a stud. But see, here's the thing. Luka dragged your team to an NBA Finals. Luka dragged your team to an NBA Finals with, frankly, very little around him. And when he got to the NBA Finals, he got attacked in them. That's why Dallas was not a threat in the NBA Finals, because the C's attacked him. And he had nobody to bail him out at all. There was nowhere else to go at that point. Keep in mind, the Mavs also at one point had Jalen Brunson on this team, who is now a megastar in New York City. They had Kristaps Porzingis on this team. And I understand there's a lot of question marks about Kristaps, But when Porzingis went down for the Celtics last year, it was like, what? Oh, no. Because Porzingis has kind of been balling out. Imagine if the Dallas Mavericks had Jalen Brunson, Kristaps Porzingis, and Luka Doncic on them right now. They're an NBA's Finals frontrunner right now. They're an NBA Finals frontrunner today. Yet you made all those moves, and now you got rid of the last piece of that move in return for Anthony Davis. It's just not a good look. Now, when I put that into light with the B.J. Armstrong audio we played right before that, where a former NBAer said, look, this is an owner-to-owner deal. This is a deal that the owners wanted done. And if the owners want it done, it's going to get done. Forget the GMs, which should be fine. Because, look, at the end of the day, if you're getting paid be the general manager of an NBA team money and the owner comes out and says, yo, I want this done, but I know it's not going to be popular, so I need you to do it and take the heat for me, right? Take the heat for me. That's fine, because the only guy with the power to fire a general manager is the owner. So if the owner did indeed go to Nico and be like, hey, I want this move done, and by the way, I need you to lay down on the train tracks for it, but you'll keep your job for a very long time if you do, maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Because BJ's logic that this was an owner-to-owner trade, that this was the owners of the Mavs and the owners of the Lakers coming together behind the scenes to make a deal happen, and it's not on Nico, that is literally, of all the theories I've heard so far, the only one that makes sense. The only one.
How do you really feel if you're that guy, though? I mean, if you're the guys who are supposed to make these deals and the owners are doing it, not you, I mean, do you worry for your job? Or, I mean, because...
I mean, this is arguably the most... I don't think arguably. I think as far as a single fan base is concerned, this has got to be the most disliked trade of all time. Of all time. Honestly, like there's been plenty of trades where guy wants out, superstar wants out, and the team trades him, and maybe they don't get nearly what you wanted for him. But at least in those trades, fans can largely understand, look, we had to take what we could get. That guy wanted out. He was never going to stay here. There was zero indication that Luka wanted out of Dallas. That's Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst says, this cat would have wanted to be there, right? This guy would have wanted to be there. Supermax contract, by the way, which Luka's would have been $365 million to be eligible for a Supermax contract. You must still be with the NBA team that drafted you or traded for you when you were on your rookie deal. Luka Doncic was going to hit his eligibility mark for a Supermax for $365 million this year. There is zero indication that Luka Doncic wanted out of Dallas, especially knowing that he was eligible for a $365 million. Now, there's the thought that, because again, people are continuing to try to find a way to justify this trade, that the Mavericks just didn't want to pay $365 million to Luka Doncic, which, okay, fair. Fair. That's a lot of money to wrap up in one player. That's like 30%+ of your salary cap wrapped up in one player. I understand it. But even if that was the case, that still does not justify calling the Lakers and only the Lakers to put Luka Doncic on the table as a trade piece. There is something that happened here that we don't know about yet. And again, as of right now, I'm not saying he's right or he's wrong. I don't know. But B.J. Armstrong's logic is the only logic that makes any sense to me right now. That this was just a deal that the ownership of the Mavericks wanted. Because I'm sorry, he can say it until he's Dallas Mavericks blue in the face. Nico is not convincing me that they looked around the NBA. When you know that De'Aaron Fox was out there for a trade, you are not convincing me that Anthony Davis was the only guy in the NBA that they would have traded 25-year-old Luka Doncic for. You're just not convincing me that that is the only guy that you were looking for. You're just not. There's something else that happened here, and nobody knows what it is. Nobody. And I hope one day we find out, because I'm going to tell you right now, unless there is something that happened behind the scenes, which, by the way, would be super illegal in the NBA, but unless there was some promise made by Jeannie Buss and the Lakers ownership to the owners of the Dallas Mavericks of, you know, if you get us Luka, if you get us Luka, then, you know, down the line, we'll give you whatever. We'll give you this guy. We'll give you that guy, whatever. Unless there is some promise of future considerations that aren't on the trade sheet right now, this trade just doesn't make sense. There is no one out there. No one. At all, anywhere, period. None of you, not an NBA GM, not an NBA player, not a guy on YouTube broadcasting from Mama's basement. There's not a dude or a gal out there who believes that Anthony Davis is the missing piece to get the Mavs over the top. There's something else here. It's, again, even if it was the fact that the Mavericks believe that Luka Doncic's conditioning and ability was diminished, it still doesn't explain this trade. Put him on the block. Unless they were, like, concerned that if they put him on the block, teams were going to start digging into Luka and find out something that they know, and then his trade value was going to plummet because, yeah, he's got, you know, a knee injury that could diminish his career, or the drinking really is a problem that's impacting his basketball, or whatever. Like, that's all I got. Outside of that, there's no justification for this, and I really hope we find out one day what the hell was going on. All right, we'll get away from this and get into some other stuff as the show rolls on. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
We are now tied. I'm good.
At least we're both starting off at one.
I think we finished off the last week tied too.
We did.
Yeah.
I think that's actually 3 weeks in a row we've ended tied.
I won in there somewhere. So we all won the last 3 weeks in a row, if that's true.
Good enough for that. This show has never made a secret of the fact that we are Greg Olsen guys. Big fan of the former Carolina Panther tight end turned Fox commentator who inexplicably, that's not true. I know exactly why it happened, but in terms of product on the television, inexplicably lost his job as the numero uno color guy to Tom Brady, who is, and I've said this before, despite being a career Brady guy, not good at TV. It's got to be the most elementary level, basic color guy I've ever heard elevated to this level. Honestly, like, it's big time the boss's kid vibes. It's just not good. It's the same call over and over. Greg Olsen, Lonzo, and I agree on like seven things. One of them is that, especially after hearing Brady, Greg Olsen should still be the guy.
Stop being so divisive. We are unified in almost everything.
Minus all the things we're not. We are absolutely unified on the Greg Olsen's a dude.
Don't be a divider. Be a igniter.
Greg Olsen was on the call the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs played for a Super Bowl. Last week, he was asked, hey, man, what's the difference between the last KC big game and this KC going into the big game? And I really like the answer. So I pointed out that the last time that these two teams got together with the Lombardi on the line, Philly couldn't run the ball, but they got a lot out of Jalen Hurts in that game. Jalen Hurts this year has got to be, I think, one of the most critiqued quarterbacks entering a Super Bowl. It's been in my brain for a week and a half. Coming out of the NFC Championship game, a game where the Eagles did not run the ball all that much. I'm watching one of the morning debate shows on one of the big networks here in the Radio Ranch. And I remember the little cryo down across the bottom said, is Jalen Hurts' passing ability holding the Eagles back? And I thought, you guys are aware Saquon Barkley's on this team, right? You guys are aware that Saquon Barkley is averaging like 1,000 yards a game, right? You guys are aware that Saquon Barkley is less than 3-1 to score 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Less than 3-1. You know what? Travis Kelce, who I'd say is like the touchdown maker in the red zone for the Chiefs, his number to score 2 touchdowns in this game, 9.5-1. Saquon Barkley's less than 3-1. That's a ridiculous number. I don't think the Eagles are held back by a lack of trust in Jalen Hurts' ability to throw the football. I think Jalen Hurts throwing the football is held back because you don't need him to. At the end of the day, if you can run the football the way that they can run the football with Saquon Barkley, there is no need to have your quarterback or anybody else's go out there and throw the ball 30 times. There's just no need for it.
Hey, you know what other team can run the ball really well? Kansas City Chiefs. Just saying.
They can. They ain't running it like the Eagles do. And that's not a shot at Kansas City. That's putting Saquon on a platform. Saquon Barkley is having one of the most incredible incredible years that we have seen out of any running back, any team in a very long time. I think Saquon Barkley is having a year that we are going to talk about for a very long time as one of the best single seasons we have ever seen a running back have. Kansas City does run the ball well. Philadelphia runs the ball better than them. And everybody else, right? And so my thought on this the whole time has been, I'm almost kind of intrigued. I'm almost kind of intrigued to, you know, we've talked about Kansas City and the fact that Lonzo pointed out earlier, there's a lot of people who look at Kansas City and they go, wait a minute. This team kind of feels like they've been holding back a little bit, right? Like this team, I pointed out earlier, a lot of reason that people turned on Kansas City is because they've been dominant for a long time, but their dominance used to come in a way that even if they were beating your teams, it was still fun to watch because they were just so electric. And this year they're not. They're just not an electric offense. But I do suspect to some degree there's a reason for that, which is they don't have to be. Winning 15 games and winning by an average margin of 1 point get you the same playoff seedings and postseason opportunity as if you win every game by 40 points. If the Chiefs got to a point in the season where they would have dropped a couple of games, then yeah, I think we would have seen high flying. But see, I kind of get that vibe to some degree about the Eagles as well. I don't know that the Eagles have put everything on display that the Eagles have on the play sheet either. Because, same thing, they haven't had to. When I can go out there in the NFC Championship game against Washington and I can hand the ball to Saquon Barkley and he can go off for a, what was it, like 55-yard touchdown run and make it look like he's jogging, why am I going to put Jalen Hurts on full tilt? Now, do I think Jalen Hurts is in the category with Patrick Mahomes? No, of course not. Nobody does. But we have seen, as Greg Olson pointed out there, the last time these teams got together in a Super Bowl, the Eagles weren't bad, and Jalen Hurts was actually pretty good. Jalen Hurts was the leading rusher on the Eagles. And yeah, it was partially because Miles Sanders, now Carolina Panther Miles Sanders, who had a phenomenal year all year, just didn't show up in that Super Bowl. But Jalen covered that up and threw the ball well, had some big bomb plays. A lot of people betting the under in this game. 49.5. Betting the over on this game, 49.5. To the point that it was one of those bets that I said last week. If you want to bet the over 49.5, do it today. Do it today, because I think this number is going to move a little bit. By the way, it did move, Lonzo, down to 49. You lost the hook, which is great for me. Yeah, you lost a half a point, but you also have the pushback in play, right? So if you're going to lose by hitting it 49, at least you're going to get the money back. However, the reason I'm intrigued by that number is because the more I think about it, by the way, 76% of the bets coming in on over 49 right now. And Rob Brown, ordinarily, I've told you before, if that number hits 80%, it's an auto fade for me. If the public ever goes 80% on one side over the other, I just automatically bet the other side. Because unders hit, contrarian bets like that hit all the time. If you have that much money coming over and that line isn't responding to it, there's a reason for that. So I am sitting here thinking I might talk myself out of my auto fade here and go for the over 49. I might do it now. And again, two reasons. Number one, I do believe that on Super Bowl Sunday, you're going to have a gazillion casual bettors who are going to slam the over because nobody wants to be the guy that goes to the party having bet the under and actively root for no touchdowns, right? I want all of you to sit through a defensive slugfest. Nobody score. Nobody wants that. I get that. And I think that number is going to come up. But the more I think about it, the things we've been saying about the Chiefs, they're holding back. They haven't shown you everything. They're getting Sky Moore back. You add Sky Moore opposite Xavier Worthy, opposite Hollywood Brown. And oh, by the way, we haven't even hardly this week talked about Nuke DeAndre, who's, by the way, you know his receiving number? I'm going to go pull it back up to see if it's moved. Nuke's receiving number, the last time that I looked at it, what would you guess DeAndre Hopkins' receiving number is at yardage-wise, Lonzo?
You mean overall for the season?
No, for this game. His over-under betting number, how many receiving yards is that number?
20.
It's 10.
Okay.
10 and a half. He's got to get 11 yards for me to win this bet. I slammed that.
I was going to say, it's not like he's a bad receiver. They're just spreading the ball around a lot.
They do spread the ball around, and I also think that with three receivers out there and two of them being quick, ordinarily guys have been putting their lockdown on Nuke, and Mahomes is finding other guys. I don't think with Sky Moore added back, if he's 100% or somewhere close to it, I don't think you can play DeAndre Hopkins the same way you've played him. That's an over bet for me. The point here is, I don't think, honestly, that anything we have critiqued about the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're holding back. I don't think they've put the full offense on display. I don't think they've given you everything they got in the playbook. I don't know that that might not be true about Philly a little bit as well. Because all year long, Philly has been able to, in very tight games, just turn around and hand the ball to Saquon. And Saquon has been able to repeatedly come up with stupid plays, backwards hurdles and highlight real runs, right? I am getting to the point where I'm like, I wonder if Philly is in that same boat. Now, I've told you the determining factor of this game for me, the reason that I am a Kansas City better in this game. And the reason why is, if it comes down to Nick Sirianni versus Andy Reid, I give the advantage to Andy Reid. If it comes down to Patrick Mahomes v. Jalen Hurts, even if Jalen Hurts has the game of his life, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes. Listen to Mark Schlereth real quick. That's exactly my thought. On paper, if you look unit to unit, I do think Philadelphia is a better team in terms of talent. The problem is the four places where I think Kansas City's better, the four places, quarterback, head coach, offensive coordinator, which is your head coach, but offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Those are the four places I think a football game gets won and lost in the Super Bowl.
Before the injury, I would have thrown in kicker.
I might be willing to throw in kicker, honestly.
Although he's been better. So.
Yeah, he has gotten better. I think there was obviously the drama surrounding Harrison Bucker. I don't know if that got into his head. I know he's gotten banged up a little bit.
No, he was out with a major injury for his plant leg. It had nothing to do with any of that other stuff.
Well, he was having some accuracy issues before that, and I wonder if that had to do with it before it came in.
I don't think he was.
But whatever, even if I give you the kicker, at the end of the day, the four places I definitely think the Chiefs are a better unit: quarterback, head coach, and therefore offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. That, the most important places. That's why I'm leaning Kansas City. However, I wait to see, are the Eagles holding back? Is there a bag they've not gotten into yet? They break out in this game and kind of make us all go, oh, oh, they got that. Oh, oh, we got this. Sports Flash.
I expect that kind of enthusiasm. As we approach the NBA trade line, players are moving after the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. Another all-star move last night as Sacramento sent De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs and acquired Chicago guard Zach LaVine in a three-team deal. The Kings also received Sidy Cissoko, three first-round picks, and three second-round picks. The Bulls get a first-round pick as well as Zach Collins and Trey Jones from Spurs and Kevin Huerter from Sacramento. After a national championship win, Ohio State offensive coordinator Chip Kelly is leaving the team to join the Las Vegas Raiders in the same role under new head coach Pete Carroll. Listen, man, I'm upset. You know, Ohio State's losing all their guys, I don't know why. Tune in Wednesday night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. It's Furman versus Western Carolina right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.